Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series. Thank you.
Amen. Welcome to Talk Straight. Glory to God. What a great reminder. Amen. I know you know someone who have a negative vibe. Glory to God. We have to continue to press on because you know we have a long, long way to go. Love that song, by the way, brother. It said, there ain't no stopping us now. Sound like to me the practice of what they're doing and striving to do is a continuation to it. So we as a people should always be mindful of that. So we just want to thank God again for you tuning in. For those of you who may call and have questions or comments concerning what we would talk about on the show tonight on Talk Straight. On behalf of Pastor Dockery in his absence, we thank God for him and what he's striving to do. He's still on the campaign trail, amen, doing all that he is designed to do to help as many people as he can. So we thank God for him, and we trust that what he's doing would be more effective than it has been in the past. That sounds like to me that it ain't no stopping to a person strive in what they're seeking to do concerning the will of God. Amen. And on tonight, we want to talk about how to balance the expectations of the Bible and the law. Just remember, there's two things about that, how to balance expectations of the Bible and the law. Glory to God. We always need some information to be able to stand on that will kind of lead us and guide us towards something that we must be ready for in order to apply this or to learn what it means. So do call in, and we would love to have you call in. We welcome your calls and your questions and comments concerning the arena in which we will be talking about concerning this particular topic. And it's always good for those that know me, and I know Pastor Doctors, I stand in the gap for him. My name is Minister Ricky Waller, and I am the co-host. Amen. On this night, I thank God for the host of the show allowing me to sit in with the confidence that I would do what he asked me to do, and that is to seek to do what I've always done, and that is to put God first. So I have to come with the scripture, if you don't mind. For those of you who don't have your Bible, don't worry about it. The Word of God does say that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So I trust that you would hear the scripture for tonight. We're coming from Romans chapter number 6. In Romans chapter number 6, there is a scripture that's very inspirational. And it speaks to you and I concerning the law. And remember, it's coming from the Bible. So that alone would help us to understand how important it is to stand on the Word of God and seek more of His will and less of our own. In verse number 14, according to Romans chapter 6, it says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." My goodness, that's outstanding there. The next verse says, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid." The Word of God says, God forbid. In other words, that's not so. We shouldn't be in sin because we are not up under the law. But just because we are up under grace, that means our practice is different. I don't know about you, but I think somebody may want to compromise if they don't know the difference between the law and grace. And so how to balance it. It would be a scary thing if it was me walking into a place where everybody in the building have a Bible and I walk in without one. And I hear someone say something like that, it would basically discourage me if I didn't understand it. And so the Word of God is teaching me as it taught me in the past. According to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse number 7, it says, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, but in all of your getting, get understanding." So that's where I would be starting at that point, to get some understanding out of what I heard, because I knew I would be walking in the church house as a first-timer visitor, you may say, not knowing anything about the will of God, the Bible, or nobody that's in there. I don't know anything about what they're doing, but I'm here. I'm showing up. Amen. That's the time that I become willing to seek the will of God and find out what I need to know. If I heard that scripture, it would discourage me. And the only reason why it would discourage me is because I wouldn't know what it's talking about. But then to know what it's like to learn from the Bible would be outstanding, I would say. And that's why Matthew chapter 11, 29 states very clear when he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. What he's saying right there, he says, take my word and learn of me. He said, I know you don't know me, Ricky, but take my word. Learn to trust in me. And then you'll learn what it means when it says something like that. And in the book of Romans chapter number 6, the first verse even says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? In other words, shall we increase in sin? Shall we keep on sinning? And that's when I notice over here in verse number 14 when it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. That means it should not rule you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. So no matter what you're doing concerning that the law was given, but never obeyed. I mean, if you look around now, you know, they got jailhouse, they got the penitentiary. Amen. They got places that they can incarcerate your mind and then have you locked down, amen, by the law because they know you don't know anything about grace. And so you can't tell them, say, look, why y'all keep locking me up when I really don't know what I'm doing? I don't have no power over what I'm doing. The only thing I realize is every time I end up in this courthouse, you're locking me up. That's because the law was given, but never obeyed. But what about grace? Yes,
Pastor Waller, we have a caller 1098. Welcome, caller 1098.
Amen. Praise God for 1098. Welcome to Talk Straight, my brother. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Glad you tuned in, man. Yeah, I need some help here tonight on this, what you're dealing with. Yes, sir. We're appreciative of you calling in. I was just sharing with some with the people right now, for those that are listening, and for those that are calling in, we welcome the calls and the questions and comments. And the topic tonight was how to balance the expectations of the Bible and the law. It sounds like to me is getting to know, you know, walking in expectancy, you know, wanting to know, desiring to know, but just don't know. And then getting a chance to learn of what the Word of God is saying. And so as I was sharing just not long ago about, I was walking into the church for the first time as a visitor, as a first timer, I would say, not knowing any better, not knowing what was happening in the church. And it seemed like everybody in the church have a Bible. Did I walk in without one? That would discourage me if I heard that, you know, because I'm walking in loaded with sin. And that's the only thing I know in life. But I found out once I learned, and that's the thing that really got me, is that I'm walking in. I may not have a Bible, but I have a heart desire to overcome what I'm doing. But yet still hearing that would discourage me. And one may say, hearing what? I would be talking about Romans chapter 6 and verse 14, where it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. I said, well, that sounds pretty good. It kind of helps me, but I just don't understand it. And then it says in the 15th verse, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? And it says, God forbid. And I said, man, that means that it sounds like to me, so God said, no, you don't continue in sin. That means you just change your practice. And that grace would cover you once you start practicing something different. And that's what I discovered that I had to do myself, versus just being discouraged by what I heard. So I kept showing up, not knowing anything about the Bible, but I heard them say faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So I just started, you know, striving to understand what I heard because I didn't have a Bible to see it in the book and everything. So it's a great thing. So I ask you to come in and talk to us, if you will. If you have something that you can talk to us about concerning the difference between, and it says how to balance the expectations of the Bible and the law, meaning that you find out how to work with it as it is and find out how you can it can fit your life and you can fit into what it says and between the law, between just what the Bible actually says concerning grace. Talk to us about that, if you will, according to what it says about for sin shall not have dominion over you. And that sounds like to me it should have the power over you. You know, because you are not under the law, but under grace. So if I'm under grace and I'm not up under the law, and you know the law was given but never obeyed, and if you go downtown with a case, you and I both know, man, they're going to charge us with that, man. We don't hear about no grace. We know that, you know, right from the start, they may have a tendency to know that it's your first time around coming up. It may work with you a little bit. I don't know for sure. Have they always done that? But I know there are times where they say, throw the book at them, whatever that person have done, and send them away from here. And that could be because the person don't know anything about grace. You know, I'm a drug user. I don't know how to stop using drugs. It's controlling me. Instead of helping me, you say, well, I give you 10 years. I give you 5 years. Why would that be that way? Why would it be that way for you to give me 5 years and I'm just addicted to a drug that's controlling me? I'm asking you to help me. Where's the grace at from, brother? What do you think they would do, Brother Outcast, if most people went in there like that?
Well, it's been so long since I've even messed with any drugs, but normally they would try to get you some help or put you on probation. Depends on what they catch you with, whatever, you know. That's just the bottom line on that. But normally, if it's your first time being locked up, they normally give you a break. But that second time around or whatever, you know, you need to get you a lawyer because you're not getting no probation. You're not going to get anything except some jail time. You won't get that unless you got a good lawyer.
No. So it don't have nothing to do with grace. It has to do with you got to get you a good lawyer because the grace thing, like it left after the first time. If they possibly would give you some action on the first time, possibly. And you're saying maybe they're going to get you a lawyer if it's the next time. And that's amazing that you said that. I like what you said. So that tells me right there that even when a person is seeking to overcome what caused them to go in there the first time with. And not saying that they're going to always be doing that because some people get out and do the same thing without even expecting to even strive to change. And I understand that because I've been there as well. I would get the doors kicked down when I was doing my thing, when I was out there, you know, in a trap. And, you know, the vice squad, the police, you know, however they nicknamed them to be, whatever they want to call them. But during the time when I was doing my thing, they called them the vice squads. And so they would kick the door down. And when they kicked my door down, they would take me to jail. And I would get out and go right back and do the same thing. I wasn't trying to find out if they would be. Yes, Yes.
We have another caller. Caller 3072. Welcome, caller 3072.
Amen. 3072.
Thank you.
3072. God bless. How you doing now?
Hey, how are y'all?
Well, doing good. Thank you for asking.
Good.
On behalf of Pastor Dockery, on behalf of his absence, and we are just carrying out, sitting in the gap, standing in the gap for him, and carrying it on through. And I ask God to help me to do what I can do concerning his absence. And thank you for calling in. We need your calls. We need your questions and comments. And definitely, we were just talking, Outcast and I, we were just sharing some things concerning about the difference between balancing out the Bible and the law according to the expectations. And what happened, you know, we was talking about how grace and the law and how to deal with that. We know the law was given but never obeyed. And I was just sharing with him, Outcast said, well, you know, the first time you go up to the courthouse, you know, maybe they'll give you a little action. Maybe they'll you know, say, okay, we're not going to send you straight to the prison or lock you up. We're going to give you a chance. And then you get out and go back and do the same thing. And the person really is to change the lifestyle, but they don't know how to do it. So outcast, you might as well go get you a lawyer, because you're not going to be able to have that grace upon you right about now unless that lawyer come in there and do you some good. And if you're not able to afford a lawyer, then you may be sent down the road to the penitentiary. And I just thought about that. I said, man, that's the reason that grace is no longer effective right there, because
true.
They're not using grace anyway. It's just at the mercy of the court, I think, at that time. And so I'm gonna ask you a question once I say, if you will. Let me say this right here, and then I want you to say something to me. I was sharing with him how when I was in the streets doing my thing, you know, the doors got kicked down. They took me to jail. And when I got out, I done the same thing. I mean, I didn't get out no year later. I got out the next day or the same day, and I would do the same thing. I wasn't even expecting to change my life. So, and that's the difference. The one person may have gone to jail, but yet still they're already trying to change their life. They done went to church, but they still got locked up anyway. And even though Outkast said that the first time they'll let you get your little break, but the next time they're going to send you down the road. Now you got to get you a lawyer to try to prevent that. So I thought that was beautiful. And I'm going to give you the scripture, and you can share with us what you have to say. Verse 14, according to Romans chapter 6, it says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." Talk to us about that. Sin should not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Sound like grace
well,
to cover us.
All right. I heard partial pieces and bits of your conversation. And I was going to say, well, that is the difference with the law back in the biblical times. You know, grace was given, not just twice. Do you understand? Because according to God's will, it seemed like when people shown and proved themselves, like you were saying, trying to turn their life around, and now they're seeking God, and, you know, then they were given more grace. They were extended more. But now in the 2018 time and era, the only grace that the law has it to go by, they not studying God, honestly. They're not. So it's put in man's hands to determine how serious you are about, you know, being reformed from crime. And you're absolutely right. I met a lady at work, and she was saying how she was a felon because of a DUI. Well, this woman spent over $70,000 in attorney fees and all that and got off, of course. But she was saying how that made the difference, having to shell out all that money and almost breaking herself, like he said, like you said, when they kick your door down, you just got right back out, so it didn't mean nothing. But the law now is trying to make it mean something. They're hitting people where it hurts, and that's financially. And next will be your freedom.
Listen to that.
That's where we are, I guess.
That's a great point. That's very deep, too. I mean, it coincides with what Brother Outkast said. I mean, you know, say this woman had to go get a lawyer. And then, of course, it came out in a, quote, favor, you would think. But with all that cash she spent out for the DUI, I mean, that seemed like right there, man, I mean, they'd
and,
rather have.
And she was a habitual felon for DUI, so it wasn't, you know, like a one-time thing, right?
One-time.
She kept getting caught. And unfortunately, for some cultures and some races, the courts do give a little bit more grace to others, you know, than to some than others. While this lady, I can say, was Anglo-Saxon. You know, right. So maybe after her fourth or fifth time and darn near killing somebody, you know, they decided, you're going to lock you up. Well, she still, no, I got money. I can get an attorney. I can get off. Yeah, but with that, that made her kind of see it shook her into, okay, this is getting for real. This is getting serious. And no, they shouldn't. Because I asked her, I'm like, well, do you think that's right for them to, you know, I mean, there's other people that get caught on the second or third time, and they have to do time behind it. She's like, well, no, and then, you know, she was saying how she agreed that that was wrong, but that's what it took for her to see. She, for one, she had a problem. Two, yeah, she needed to obey the law.
Right, right.
Pastor Waller, we have a new caller.
Yeah, you hold that thought right there, 272. Yeah, okay, you got another caller?
Yes, caller 8112. Hello, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. How's everyone doing?
All
hi,
right.
8112.
Okay.
Yeah, praise God. Praise God. Welcome to Talk Straight on this night. We definitely need your input. We're going on into the topic tonight, and 3072 was sharing some things with it. If you don't mind, hold up and get finished with what you were talking about, because it's pretty interesting on how to balance the expectations of the Bible and the law. We're talking about what happened when a person is a first timer around of going up into the courthouse, and they have to be faced with the judge and the judge's decision on how to deal with an issue. And 3072 talked to us in the ongoing about this lady who had to spend X amount of dollars. I'm talking about some big dollars, and had been doing some things. Share it with us since 8112 just tuned in with us, if you will.
Yeah, and I was just going to say lastly how, you know, as far as I go, because I know that there is, honestly, there is no justice the majority of the time, and there is no grace there. So for me, if I do something and I'm praying to the Creator, then you have to grace yourself by being honest about what you're praying to Him for. It's not even fair for you to bow down on your knees knowing, God, just please help me to get off of this. They kicked the door in, they got the drugs, and help me to write. Okay, and God grants you that. Okay, you walked.
Right.
And then you get out and you're doing the same thing. Should there be grace?
Right.
Should the court even get it? Because, I mean,
no,
you were getting out on knowing that what you were going to do was wrong in the first place.
Didn't have a mindset. Yeah, that's true, because
right.
You don't have a mindset. If you don't have a mindset, that means that the court don't even know how to utilize grace when a person don't have a mindset. And so you're saying the law actually is not fair anyway, so you're up against it when you don't know
right.
that you need to be reaching out for some help. That's what you're saying.
You should put God before the court as far as your belief system is what I'm saying, your faith, your walk in life. That's okay, so I messed up. I'm going to pray that, God, will you help me turn this around? When I pray, I need to be sincere about that.
Maybe
if I'm on the third time, maybe God will move, and the court may have some leniency, and I may, but no, you can't go in there playing with God and the court. That's crazy to think you're going to get away. You're not.
I think you said something so outstanding right there, and I wanted to elaborate on it later on, but not right now on that. I think that was so outstanding because that took place in my life also, and that's definitely beautiful. You know, and 8112, we want to hear from you based on what we was just speaking about in 3072 and what you shared. Before you do that, give us just a minute because we're going to have to go to a break, and I don't want to interrupt you or no one else right now. So just give us a maybe in the next 60 seconds, we will be going into the break. But in the meantime, we're going to be elaborating on, is the court system fair enough, you know, to extend grace to hurting people who really don't know any better? You see, we got to go right there and know that if you don't know any better, should the court be able to tell, should the judge be aware if a person don't know any better? Because what I heard Outkast say earlier, and I love that, he said, the first time, because a person don't have to know any better the second or the third and the fourth time, and then you know, all of a sudden they're ready for a change but just don't know how to do it. Can the judge or the court be able to acknowledge that and lay the grace on a person to help them like that? We'll talk about that when we get back from this break right here. Glory to God. And because it's interesting, very interesting, I must admit.
Problems.
Amen. Welcome back, Trace. On behalf of Pastor Reuben Dockery in his absence, we thank God again for him being on the campaign trail, doing the will of God. And my name is Minister Ricky Waller. I'm stepping in for him as the co-host. And I want to make known of all the people that just called in, who's sitting in on the panel right now. We thank God for all of you. And what we're desiring to do is to learn more about the difference between the balancing of the expectations of the Bible and the law. We have had a great conversation up to this point. But I want to let anybody know that if you desire to call in right now, the number is 657-383-0944. I think before we go on this break, I wanted to give 8112 a chance to share something with us concerning what you feel about the law versus grace. Is the court system fair enough to understand the difference between the two themselves? Come in. That's why I can still hear the voice of some show used to come on and talk about, here comes the judge. Glory to God. Don't know what the judge is going to bring forth, but here he comes. And everybody has to stand before that the judge getting ready to come in, and you know some actions getting ready to take place concerning the issue that getting ready to be dealt with. Talk to us, 8112, about what you think between. Now, we read the scripture again according to Romans 6, verse number 14. It says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. That means the power over you, the authority over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. And then the next verse says, what then shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Says God forbid. God don't want us to continue to sin. But when we don't know how to stop, should grace help us? Talk to us, 8112. Should grace help us
in times like this? Don't know how to stop?
Yes, if we don't know how to stop.
I mean, I really can't really comment a whole lot about the court system and all that because I don't have a lot of knowledge on that.
So. Okay, great.
I will.
Okay. Okay, good. Let our cast come in, and then you still can come in and just and then talk about some of the things in which you may be able to get a little understanding out of what he's getting ready to share. He has some knowledge about that. Come on, brother, Outcast.
And Pastor, real quick, too, Outcast, hold on 1 second. We do have an additional caller 1780, so I'll let him come in after Outcast.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, he can come on in now. I can wait.
Yeah, let him come on in. Thank God. Come on in. And the number is, what is the number, 17 again? What is the number?
1780.
1780. And welcome to Talk Straight.
Hey. So you know, I was kind of listening to follow along with the conversation where we're at, and I think currently, I just got three things real quick. Currently, I think we're kind of talking about justice, fairness, things like
that. Hold on, let's stop it for a second. Can you all hear it pretty clear, or do we need to, or is there something
going
on?
There's an echo.
Okay, brother, try to adjust your phone or some matter, and then we went on to you. Alcash, you okay with him having a talk right now?
Go ahead.
See if you can adjust your phone so we all can hear you. And
Is this any
better?
Not
any better right now. Okay, try it again. Let's see what happens.
Okay. What about this? Is this any better?
Can you all hear me?
Yeah,
better?
That's fine.
Okay,
I can hear.
Come
I think it's just probably his room is so spacious.
Okay, good.
Sound like it.
Okay, good. So I guess I got three quick things. I think where we're at right now is just on the topic of justice, forgiveness, fairness, I guess, in the court system. And, you know, I think kind of like my point on where that should be or the example from the Bible, you know, all through Kings, all through Samuel, 1 and 2, God has given the people of Israel chance after chance after chance to do right as they keep on messing up. So I think that, you know, as an example, that's definitely not there necessarily in the court system right now, but I think as an example, you know, I don't think you ever run out of chances, so to speak, you know, because they keep on being defiant. He just keeps on giving them chance after chance.
Right.
So I think that's kind of like an example of what to model after. And then kind of going past that, my second kind of point is I think that there is a difference between the consequences of actions and grace. And I think that grace is happening more, it has to do more with like salvation and what happens after you, you know, when your soul is judged. But I don't think there's really a lot of examples in the Bible where God is not or foregoing consequences for an action. So, you know, just because you kill somebody, that don't mean you ain't going to jail. That's not grace that you don't have to serve your time or that you don't have to deal with the law of the land. It's grace that after you're done doing that, you still have a chance at salvation.
That's right.
So I think that's something that's like a distinguishment that you know, kind of needs to be understood. You still got to own up to whatever you did.
That's right. And that's a part of grace.
That's beautiful, well said and everything. And I wanted to make sure that when we elaborate on that, as you just brought forth great information concerning it. Now, my question would be is the court system capable? Are they fair enough to know and understand? Because let me explain something. I remember a time, and I think our cast can agree to this, and some of you all may as well. And when a person go to court, there was a time when they would pull out a Bible and tell you to put your hand on it. And nothing but the truth will help you. Didn't that a time that when they would do that?
It
was in the Bible, but it would tell you to put your hands on it. Meaning that you may not know you did it, but put your hand on it and say you're going to tell the truth and never let the truth. So just think of a person saying, okay, I put my hand on the Bible. I saw in the Bible where it says this. If a person had a chance to present that, should they at that point, you know, take a look at it? Because, hey, look, right here it says in the Bible, it's the same Bible that you got to put my hand on and swear to tell the truth and never let the truth. Then that means that the grace in this Bible should be applied even in the courthouse. Is it fair to say
it should,
that?
But can I interrupt?
Yeah, sure.
I wanted to just take a stab at that. So I agree with caller 17, whatever his number is. Back to what your question was, Pastor Waller, was should the court take a look at that? Yes, they should. They should, and people should put themselves on trial. You need to be convicted first within your own heart before even coming asking for grace. He's absolutely right. So I went out there and I shot a block up. Whether I intended to kill five people and I was just trying to get one or not, I killed five. That's the reality.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm coming in repentance for. Lord, I am sorry that I killed all these people. It is not fair to God or to the court, or to those families, for you to come in and expect just to walk away without penalty.
Yes.
You did that. And I think God is calling for us to stand up and own our sins so that he can forgive us. But if we won't own what we do, then there shouldn't be forgiveness. I'm sorry. And God is fair and just. He's loving.
Yes,
right. He's patient. He's kind. He's everything. That's not right. You wouldn't want somebody to do that to you. I mean, and as far as the courts go, when people put their hands on the Bible, you got so many people coming in there lying and who is not trying to change anything. The courts kind of don't know what to do at that point. So they have to go by 2018, what's wrote on the books, what everybody voted and agreed on. And sometimes it's unfair because it doesn't apply to everybody, but how do they know who exactly to apply it to?
The difference right there.
That's the question.
Pastor
Waller, I would like to welcome, we have a new caller, caller 3122. Welcome to the show, caller 3122.
Amen. Praise God for the caller. Caller, are you here?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Stand by just a moment because we just welcome you in and we thank God for your calling in. 3072 was sharing something. I know Outcast was on hold, 3072. Can you allow him to, because he's experienced a great deal of...
Yes, please. Go ahead.
He's been a
student
that, and I want to come back and after he shares something about that, then we get the caller to come in as well. Praise God. Very good point, 3072. Excuse me. Come on, Outcast. Talk to it.
Okay. Here it is. Now, we're talking about the law. We talk about grace. The law, in today's time, and I can go back to biblical time, the law has not always been just. This is why people stand up and they fight unjust laws. Now, I listened to 72, and I made the statement that we voted on the laws. No, we don't make the law. You have a tiny group of people that set up and make these unjust laws. Yes, it's wrong for someone to kill five people, but what about the people that are locked, that are incarcerated unjustly? You know,
Race
come in, okay, I forgive them. They did me wrong. A lot of people have went to the electric chair. They have used that criminal justice system wrongly for as long as America have been in existence. Black men going to the electric chair, white women lying on them saying they raped them. White men don't like you're prospering, and he lie on you and get you sent to prison just to demolish your business, things of that nature. Where does the grace come in on that? You know, these laws that they have now, they are very unjust.
Unjust.
You know,
okay. No,
why?
That's good.
Why you gonna give a black man more time because he messing with crack cocaine, and the whites are messing with the powder? It is unjust. We live in an unjust society. We always have, but it takes good people to stand up, like Martin Luther King and a lot of other people, to fight these unjust laws. You know,
all right. Well,
the criminal justice system is powerful and I hold. Yes, go
very
ahead.
Good point. Yeah, before you go, very good point out there, and I'm right there, and I need that to be really, really, really considered, because that does happen and is still going on. 372, go ahead and talk to us.
Well, and that was just the point that I was trying to speak to. I agree totally, Outcast, with you. There is some poor people that's in there that shouldn't be in there. But what about making it so that we're in there? They are, that are guilty of some of those damn things, and it make them slap the harshest penalties. And right, because when they see them, they think they've seen us all. But if those people, again, back to self-conviction, you know what the hell you're doing. I'm sorry. And not only are you hurting yourself, exactly, Outcast, you're not giving me, the next person that's trying to come up in life, a fair chance because of your actions. So I know, and I don't agree with how the court operate and all that, but at some point, they come, okay, I don't know what to do. I don't.
Yeah,
I don't know what to do. These black people are, and that's the stereotype, are doing this and doing in the crack and all. You're exactly right. But how did they come to believe in those things? How did they come to that?
How did it come to
fast
that?
Money.
That's the question. Say that again, okay?
Fast money. But
fast money.
At
very
the
good.
End of the day, you know, us is the this black race that we're in, you know, hey, there is no doubt we're killing ourselves, you know. We're killing ourselves out there. I could easily state they don't need the white supremacists anymore. They don't need the Ku Klux Klan anymore.
Agreed.
You know, when they come out, it's just a dog and pony show. You know,
that's right.
Because they know, you know, they're out there laughing. You know, because if they really were very serious about what they were doing, they would do like they did during Martin Luther King era in the early 1900s and after the Civil War, they would be taking Negroes, hanging and lynching them.
I was Dr. Martin Luther King or any of them other, I would turn it over in my grave now. Seriously, those people died. They put themselves out on the front lines to try to make things fair and right. And what do some idiots do? They don't care about it. They don't even know about it half the time. They too ignorant to stop and try to learn and do anything different. So they making it worse for the next man, the next young brother who get a brilliant idea to sell some drugs to maybe try to feed his new child or his girlfriend or somebody, and he get locked up, and they're judging him based off of what they've seen happening in the past.
Right.
From
That's where we are,
good
right
job.
There. This is where we are, and I want to make sure that this question comes back again concerning the justice system. You know, we have a place in Nashville, I would say, and the place that they take people to court at, or to lock them up and call it going to the Justice Center.
Yeah.
Right? That means that you're going to read as justice. Okay, so we'd be expecting for justice to take place. Now, there's a thing that's going to happen. I know about it, maybe some of you as well. a thing where they call these railroads you can get in there. Is that the thing? Okay, so if they're going to railroad you, nothing that you have to say that would let grapes fall upon you when the railroad is all in on their mind, that's safe.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you transfer in this season, at this moment, at this hour, at this day, at this year, and be able to make a stand and recognize, you know what I mean, that the expectations of coming into a place when there was an innocent person who was just setting drugs trying to feed his family that didn't know anything
right.
make him,
right.
him
right.
his mind, but it messes that person up because of what others have done, which is understandable.
Yes,
so, yeah. So then that the place is called a justice, that means that person that's sitting at that desk, you know, and got people coming before them should be qualified enough. Don't mean it always do because a lot of people are, as you just said, was just getting electrocuted and everything. You know, they're
right.
innocent.
Yeah.
You know, did they really know that they was innocent, or did they care, or did they decide not to look deeper into it? You see, and so those things. So how do we balance the expectation of what the Bible says according to the law? So who's going to take it to them and make them aware of we're seeking justice down? We need justice. We don't need to see Hickon. Such and such just came up in here, railroad him. He goes such
and
such
I agree.
Let him go.
Yeah.
You know, let him do it. So you caught between, is it any grace there, or is it just the same old, we're teaching like we want to, we made our own laws and things like that, because that's actually
what it is. But that's what it is.
Yeah. That's
it. And I mean, my standpoint on that one is, you know, I'm thinking that there definitely is people that are judging unfairly. But as far as today goes, you know, you not going to get your life taken away for nothing, you know, unprovoked. Not so much in 2018 like it was in the 60s, like it was in the 50s and before then. So now everybody got enough common sense to know that selling drugs is not a good idea. I don't know anybody that thinks it's just a great idea. So, I mean, I think today, instead of focusing on what we can't control, which is unfair judges, what we can control is making sure that we're not putting ourselves in situations where we're shooting people and doing crime in general. You know what's against the law. Ain't nobody forcing you to do this stuff. And you're not going to jail or getting killed for whistling at white women no more. That's not happening today like it was then. So you have a choice to pick up that gun, to sell those drugs, to rob these people. You got a choice.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that if
that's so correct. But it's so obvious.
Then you
so
need
obvious.
To stay out of the situation.
Yeah, go ahead. Excuse me. Yeah, it's so obvious that it's happening. And, you know, you got young people that, I think the word ignorant was used earlier, and I'll be the first to say I was that ignorant individual. And then the Bible does talk about a person being ignorant and unlearned.
Right.
You see, so there are
a
lot of people that are ignorant and unlearned that don't know that the law, you know, was given but never obeyed, that don't know that it's an unrighteous thing to do what the law said is wrong, when a person may not be doing it because it's wrong, and a person could be doing it because they're hungry and they have nothing else to do. The closest thing that they can do right now is, I don't know anything about how to get a job. I don't know nobody who to go to. I don't. This could be taking place as we speak. Not saying that it is always that way, but let's just say, give or take, to a person that don't know nothing, he's just ignorant, unlearned, and don't know anything about it.
And I hear that, and I respect that. I just really have a hard time believing that at this time, at the internet and all this other stuff, that you really don't have any other way to do nothing.
No, call it. Hold on just one second. Just make a point. What I'm saying to you right now, I say the Bible talks about. Now, I'm talking about what the Bible talking about. Now, a lot of people don't know what the Bible says. I'm going to say something that I know that I didn't know at first that the Bible says. And this person, when you call somebody in the street ignorant, you might be into a fight. But if you're aware, that it's okay to know that you're ignorant. Just don't stay. If we're saying if they want to be ignorant, let them be ignorant. But if you want to be ignorant, you have to learn how to do what's appropriate to not be ignorant, like for instance. If I go back to selling dope right now after I got the knowledge of it, then I'm going to be ignorant all over again. That means I know better.
And you need to get railroaded or whatever else comes.
That's what I'm talking about. Because I just put myself back into a position to know that the railroad is still there, that do I want the railroad? So I have to make conscious decision now. But if a person don't know is what I'm talking about, that really don't know and had to do with the internet, don't have nothing to do with the Bible, and they've never been to court before, never been down to the jailhouse before, all they know is that where they're located. They got some friends that it looks like they're enjoying themselves.
Sure.
I was getting into
jail
that they got caught up like that. So I know there's a lot of them still out there like that. So I'm making the church, you know, that have these Bibles, you know, you should be out there in the street trying to encourage people, maybe to let them know just what you're saying, brother, that, hey, they got a system that'll lock you up for this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah,
and Pastor Waller?
I'm just thinking about some accountability here. Like, I mean, I understand there's some people out there that don't know some things, but you just like you see those people bawling and you see that they eating, you also see them ducking and hiding from the police. So you know that stuff ain't right. You can't speak to a person that actually thinks that this is all above board.
Hey, if you don't see that though, brother,
right,
if you don't see that in the beginning, it might not happen. Go ahead, 36.
Can I interject?
Yes, go ahead.
I'm sorry, but I didn't want to lose this thought. So what he's saying is actually right, and I agree with that. And I was going to say what I try to teach my young people, my children, that's over 21 now, is you need to really choose wisely. Now, you can go down that path of destruction, but just know when things hit the fan, if you know what I mean, it's going to hit the fan. And whatever comes from that is what's coming. Expect that. Expect it. So don't go in the judge or don't go to court crying when you get a sentence, because that's what's to be expected from that. You don't expect to walk away. If you walk away, you're lucky. But expect, when you chose that, expect that that's where you're going. So you need to choose, do I want to do this and risk, and the risk is high as I don't know what, being locked up for 20 or 30 years, or do I want to just be hungry, eat ramen noodles, and try to get my stuff together? Now, back to what he was saying about the them not knowing better and all that. Caller, there is honestly actually some people, young people, who has been tainted by older people, that's been tainted by older people of them. Sure. That they honestly been taught wrong. They've been programmed to think that they are stupid enough to think, and excuse my language, that I could do this better than the next man and not get caught.
That's it.
Oh, no, I can change the game up. I can change the game up and see how they messed up with this. But I can do it right. And then when they get caught, when you get caught, you done got caught with kilos. Why you think you're about to walk? You're not walking nowhere but to the slammer.
Yeah, right.
No. So, yeah, you got people teaching these young people that they can beat it when they can't.
Exactly.
So
and then
our responsibility is it's not to lie to them. Tell them the truth. Show them what they can look forward to when they choose that.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And we got another break coming up, and I think that's we right on target. And I want to make sure that we go to the booth. And y'all to keep your thoughts right now, and we will come back after this break here. But just remember one thing. It's a powerful statement to not know, and somebody make you think that it's all 11 and 12 years of age. And nobody explained it to them, just like 37, you just explained it to the 21-year-old, and you gave it to them straight, and let them know the consequences of this and that and other. And then if you decide to go do it, you're doing it's on you.
Look to go to jail.
Break.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And we're going to have this break, and we'll come back, and we'll keep that same thought pattern right there, if you will. And 8112, you got to come on in and talk to us. Now, I know you know some things about what's going on, what we're talking about now, in spite of the court system or the Bible system. So we're going to ask you after this break, okay? Amen. Welcome back to Talk Straight. I mean, we are stirring up something on this night, and we thank God for everybody that's tuned in. Again, if you desire to call in, the number is 657-383-0944. We just welcome you to make a call and tap into the comments and the questions that could be already prepared to be answered. Amen, if you have one. But in the meantime, the question is about the system, you know, how to balance the expectations of the Bible and the law. I got something I'm going to share, and then I'm going to ask someone who's tuned in that haven't said anything. I want to let you know that you're welcome to have something to say, and we just thank God for you being patient enough to wait. But in the meantime, all of us who have had something to say, we allow someone who haven't had a chance to say something, we would give way to them. Is that all right? But in the meantime, if they don't,
yes,
I want to step right on in and continue to do what we have been doing. Let's talk about it. But here, the scripture says, it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. In other words, somebody got into a wrongdoing. And if you're spiritual, you should help restore this person. What do you think about that? If a person's been caught up into a fault and then you know you're spiritual, should you try to restore this person, or should you just sit back and let it be and say, okay, you got yourself into this, get yourself up out of it? Or should you know that you're spiritually filled, should you say something to them about it? And I don't think the people in the courthouse look at it that way, like, okay, I'm a judge, but I'm spirit-filled, and I'm getting ready to let you know, even though you've done it one time, you've done it twice, you've done it three times, I'm just spirit-filled, so I know change is possible. Talk to somebody that hadn't had a chance to say anything. Is anybody on the line right now that was patient enough to hold on and just hadn't said anything? You'd like to say something?
I've been here pretty much just listening, honestly. Spiritually speaking, it's okay for you to give some advice to people if they're willing to listen. I think a lot of them, some of them, let me correct myself, not to listen. They hear you, and as soon as you say it, it goes in one ear and out the other. As far as the court system, once again, I don't have a lot of knowledge, and I'm thankful for that, thank God, about what you do in court, because I hope not to go there. I don't like places like that.
Praise God for you, too.
I'm going to let whoever want to speak that knows something about what they're talking about, because if I speak too much, I'll be speaking out of my knowledge.
I'll speak. You just said, oh, I can't, but I can't. She just said something, though. You remember when she said it's all right for somebody that is spirit-filled to, you know, to reach out to help somebody, but it goes in one ear and out the other. But at least she did reach out. I think that's a beautiful thing that she did reach out.
You know, that's the main thing. You know, I pity anyone that think the criminal justice system that we have is perfect. You know, I feel sorry for them. But number one, wrong people are in the wrong places. You know, as we speak right now, crime is going on, rape is going on, robbing is going on.
Yeah.
What's going to change that? Some people are guilty of what they committed. Some people are not guilty.
My goodness.
You know, let me tell you something like this. They can lock you up for, they can lock a individual up for robbery. If you're not sure why you locked that man up,
ain't
no judge. Just
yes, sir.
You know,
ain't no justice in that.
You know, no justice in that.
I agree.
Go ahead.
You know,
go ahead.
Then they turn around, and then they turn around and they pass all these unjust laws. Now, listen to the young man speak. When I was speaking of how black men, you know, were going to the literature back in the early 1900s just because a white woman stated that he raped her. But guess what? They stopped this in here in the state of Tennessee, especially. Let me tell you something. White women will lie down with black men and get up and go and holler rape. But number one, keep yourself intact. Stay intact. If you stay intact, you stay where you're supposed to be at, a whole lot of your problems would be alleviated. Now, going back to what 72 states, This is what you have to do. But young man, if you think for one moment that these things are not happening, they are still happening. What has changed? This was going on in biblical times, just like prostitution. Prostitution is not new.
Yeah, man.
This has been going on ever since the beginning of time.
Yes, it has.
Yeah.
I hope.
Yeah. Hey, and brother. Yeah, and brother Outcast, I agree with that 100%. I don't disagree with none of it. And my only thing, I didn't want to come across the stage. I think that you know, the law and the court system is fair. That's not what I was coming across saying. I guess what I was just coming, I was coming from a practical standpoint, just trying to say that we can't control unfairness. So it would be better energy spent to focus on what we can control. So I wasn't trying to say that it's fair and it's good, because it's not good,
right?
Like you said, you know what I'm saying. But most of the times, people put themselves in the situations most of the time in some way.
I agree.
So if we just try to tackle that, we'll cut down on a whole lot of stuff, and that's already a good practical step in the right direction.
Well,
that is my son.
This is excuse me. I want to share this right here, if you will. Now, to be falsely accused, I want you to understand something here. If they got you right, that's justice. If they charging you unjustly, it ain't no excuse for that. You see, because justice is sent. So we got to get to the mindset of, okay, one person accused is too many.
Right.
You understand?
I agree.
And it's happening. And it's happening. And so when they put you in a lineup, we're talking about a lineup, that means they don't know whether you've done it or not. This is what was happening years ago, and maybe they're still doing it. I don't know for sure. But I like to think they're still doing it, right?
Right.
Okay, so it's
–
Well,
that means they don't know whether you've done it or not. And then they pick you out, and you're the wrong one. That cannot feel good to that person who know that they were nowhere around,
that
they didn't do
it.
And that right there, that's why we need them to be correct. Every time they charge somebody, they should be correct, because that person could be the wrong one. You and I could be that innocent individual. You understand?
Right. You know, it's like driving down the street.
Yeah.
And you get pulled over for no reason. You
know?
See, that's not just. That's unjust.
That's right.
No, I agree. But here's what I was saying, and I think the young man, that's my son. I have to just admit that. But he's thinking and viewing things the same way that I view them. I know that the law and the court system is not fair. I know that. So I'm not going to take a chance on them either granting me grace or not. I'm going to take that within my own hands as much as I can by just avoiding the other stuff. Now, here's the thing. So you're a young man, and you're at a fraternity frat party. Yeah, they got a young lady up there, and you're there. Five other brothers done been with the woman. She drunk, she drugged out, whatever. Morning comes, she filing rape charges. Because it is rape. But you didn't sleep with her. You were just there. This is going to what Outcast is saying. You were there. And because they tied you there, they're going to try to slap a sentence on to you. That is not right. That is not right. But guess what, young man? When you saw that going down, that everybody's going to get a turn, you don't stay there and watch. You get the hell out of there.
That's
how you can take that into your own hands. I wasn't there. I didn't see none of this.
Yeah,
I wasn't there. She can't say I got on her. She can't even open her eyes and see my face because I ain't there. So therefore, how they gonna get me if I ain't there?
That's the question.
What I'm saying. That's all I'm saying about as far as us knowing it ain't fair and all that. When you know stuff is finna go down, alleviate it by just excusing yourself.
Well, that's the difference right there. It's good to do that. I mean, that's without a doubt, hands down. I mean, that would be the appropriate thing to do. But let's just be honest about what really actually happens sometimes. And it's we're talking justice that person is nowhere around, period. Not even that they was there. I'm talking about when they nowhere
around. But, okay, so look, Pastor Wallace, and you speak about faith in God. Can I just say this real quick and then I'll shut up? But you spoke about faith in God in that scenario I just gave you. So your faith and your responsibility would be, for one, talk the brothers out of that. And for two, you know they finna rape her. She ain't even woke. So you gonna just go home and go to bed, or you gonna go get help? What you gonna do?
No, you gotta step up.
What
and
you
do
gonna
what's
do?
Right.
That's what I'm talking about. Okay.
But I want to pose to you. Because I think what you were talking about was situations where it's just like completely nothing you could have done about it. Somebody just like straight picked you out of nowhere. Like you weren't even in the city and you just got called up.
Like they did in the 60s.
So the question I want to pose to you is, I definitely know that happened, you know, but if you was to look at the amount of brothers locked up right now, what percent would you say of them is like that, where they ain't do nothing at all? They not even living that lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? Because I think that there's a point of where even if you live in that lifestyle, even if you ain't commit that one crime that day, nigga, you did it another day.
Yeah.
So you know what I'm saying? Like, how many people you think is locked up right now that they not even doing nothing to even deserve that at all versus the ones that contributed to it?
I think many people is locked up trying to done the crime. But I'm using for an example my experience. I even have been in an experience like that. I was told that I never been in, because I don't know how to steer good. I wasn't good at that, so I didn't do that kind of stuff. So anyway, I was charged. I was charged. Now, look here. Went to jail, locked up for it, and when I went to court, the man looked in my eyes and said I was the one, told the judge I was the one, and that man knew he was lying on me. I said, man, I ain't never been in this court. I don't even know where the story is, man. I ain't never seen you in my life. And the judge, and I believe the judge believed me and everything, because this is what he done. He made them go take and get my fingerprints and realize that the fingerprints wasn't even the same as mine. And then he said, I'm sorry. Just went to the next person for the case. You know, dismissed that case and went on. Didn't say nothing about I'm sorry. And man, they never seen their dad in life. And it wasn't so much about what was the plan. It was just that I was falsely accused. So that happens, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens.
Sure.
And it's still going on. And so what I'm saying, you don't have to see where something is going on and have to get away from it while it's going on. I mean, you can know nothing about it at all and can be charged with that. And it don't happen quite often. I'm just using for an example. But
what I'm talking about, though, because when you're looking at how to pull together community resources, you know, when you're looking at how to effectively use people to make a change, you have to look at all the things that are possible to try to attack and work on, and you have to make a decision about, okay, we can't fight everything, so what's the most effective thing that we can fight? And all I'm saying is it's not the most effective thing to fight false imprisonment when you can fight 80% of the people that is just by better training them and just better educating them on the fact it's unfair. You're going to get locked up. And forget even getting locked up. Let's just talk to them morally about the fact, do you really think that's right to be giving your brothers and sisters poison?
Amen.
You really think that's
Amen.
Right to go be shooting and robbing your brothers and sisters? You really think that's what you need to
right.
do? So I think that that would be a better use of community resources to focus on that, because I think that that's the majority of the the lockup cases.
And that's Pastor Wallace. We have about 10 minutes until the show's in, if you want to give up any last wrapping up thoughts.
Yeah, because we're really getting into this, and it's getting better and better. Good God, everybody. But I tell you, this intelligent young man right here, he put you to work, good God Almighty, make you want to go out into the community and sound the alarm and say, look, every young brother, we just had a young brother on here, is trying to save the percentage of our young people, and we know that every now and then somebody gets falsely accused, and maybe it's because they're watching what you're doing and they're just hanging around and not even doing anything, and all of a sudden they're getting themselves and watching you. So you know what? This is a great blog, and I just trust that we just keep striving, keep stirring up the gifts. And I don't know how many is on the line right now, but I'm going to give everybody a chance, you know, to have the last say And you know, just thank God for being encouraging. And I think 8112 said something. I want to get back in there with that because she did say it's all right, you know, to encourage someone.
Yeah,
right.
Yes.
It's all right. And she said, that's right there is what the young brother's talking about, you know, how to percent of the people who are getting caught up and 20% to get caught up without even doing anything. So if we can get them on the right track, that means somebody got to get out there and encourage them. Before, but we don't want to see you get off into this and that and the other. And that's where it says, better than any man be overtaken in a fault. You which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself being in a wrongdoing position. So if we consider ourselves, that means we can share with somebody else. So 8112, elaborate on that when you say it's all right to encourage someone, even though it may go in
one ear and out the other.
Okay, let's just say if it go in, it's a possibility it may stick. So at least we got to say it. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so we got to go ahead on and say it anyway, even though we may think they might think they're not going to pay attention to me. But you never know that person, as the young brother is talking about, that person might listen to you and lock in on what you said, and all of a sudden we saved that person just because you were so concerned and you didn't want to sit back and not say anything. I think 3072 got that syndrome that when she was at work, she was just tired, and I remember that, and she came out and she still had to get involved because it was just the right thing to do, glory to God. So 8112, talk to us about what you have, and we'll move on to the next person, if you will, after that.
One thing, I don't have much to say now. I wasn't really feeling good, but I'm glad I got on just to, you know, listen to you guys speak because, like you said, knowing is knowledge. So
bless God.
Maybe one of you guys said something that's knowledgeable for me, and I comprehended it, I could share it with someone else.
My goodness. How awesome was that? Hey, that's stirring it up right there now. You know you're starting something right there now. So you can pass it on is what you're saying, huh? Okay.
Yes,
I like that. I like that. Who's next? Somebody come on and give us something, you know, as we wind down. And 3072, we're saving you for last, but we're going to have you to take us out, all right?
Go ahead, call us 3072.
Huh?
Oh, Outcast.
1974. I was in the telephone booth. You know, telephone booths are gone now, which it costs a dime to use the phone. I was talking to my girlfriend on the phone at the store. Guy was in the store. You know, I didn't know anything. I was in deep conversation with her. All of a sudden, police came, took me out the phone booth. That's what's going on. You the watch out, man. You burglarizing the store. I said, I don't know them guys. Lock me up. Interrogated me. I told him, I said, look, I was talking to my girlfriend. I was talking to my girlfriend. I gave him the phone number. They called him. And then they let me go. Now, check this out.
Wow.
Two guys go up in the store, right? One guy said, now, you know, the other guy said, man, I'm going in and get a pop or something, or be it whatever. He come out. He done robbed the store. They pull off. Guess what? Both of them go to jail. Guilty by association, and I'm done. Going back to what you was talking about, 72, get gone. If you was going down, get gone.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right there. Get gone. In other words, don't affiliate yourself with it. Be gone. That's beautiful. Glory to God. Amen. All right, young brother. Come on in, man, and talk to us and give us something to continue this journey with, man.
No, I appreciate the conversation. I just think it's as proactive as we can be, you know what I mean? It's possible to keep ourselves possibly, you know what I'm saying, out of some of these situations. And I think that if you consciously are trying to stay out of trouble like that at all times, being diligent, then there are some times where you got to realize that, hey, God just wants you in this situation. Look what happened to Joseph. Joseph was locked for a minute. You know, Pharaoh's wife said he was all touching on. He was like, man, look, I ain't touched that woman ever. She came after me. I said, no. He got locked up regardless. But that's what God needed. That's where he needed him to be. And that's what he needed him to be at. So I think if you're being diligent and trying to stay out of trouble, you still find yourself in trouble, it might be something in your testimony that you might need to be getting from that.
My goodness. In other words, stand firm and be aware that, you know, it takes some time to do what God has you to do, is asking you to do or looking for you to do. Okay, great news, brother. We appreciate you sharing that with us as well. Amen. Is anybody else on the line before we go to 3072? It's been a great dialogue, I tell you that. It's been great. And we're going to – anybody else? I'm going to say this before we ask 3072 to bring us on home with this. There is a scripture that says, awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. You remember times in our past when we would have our parents or somebody say, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Anybody ever heard that before? You know, and getting well, you shouldn't have been over there or anything like that. But it says awake to righteousness. That means your practice should be different. Check yourself and sin not. And it says, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. So it's telling you, you know, awake to righteousness. You know, and don't do that in front of them. Practice something different. Mm-hmm. Show them something different. I speak this to your shame. Some people don't have the knowledge of God. Actually, some people don't. So we got to make sure we be good examples. Good enough? Amen. So come on, 3072, and talk to us. We have a little over 3 minutes left. Talk to us, and we'll be ready to wind down. Glory to God.
Well, I just wanted to say that I did enjoy the show, and the dialogue has been tremendous. Kudos and, man, high fives to Outkast, and definitely to you, Pastor Waller. I sing your song every time I'm on here, how proud I am of you. And I think it is about, because you've walked both lines. You were about that life, a bad life, and then you changed and you went to a good life. And, man, I respect and I applaud what you're trying to do for the youth and the young brothers, I mean, and the sisters too, but I think that's what we all need to do. We have a responsibility. If you've been there to where you've been slapped in the face or you've been pulled out of a phone booth like Outkast was talking about, then you can share with somebody else how to avoid these things. We can no longer stand by and watch our children either walk into the wayside or fall by there. And tell them that it's okay. It's going you can't beat that. You can't beat that. Let's get around. Let's avoid that completely. Cut it out. So I think with that being done and us spreading love and all of what we've been through and what we learned, we can make a difference and things can change. But no, the law is not equal and is not fair. Keep that in mind. And stay out of court, like 8112 said. Stay out of there. And you good. Yeah. You good.
Good God Almighty. Good God Almighty. How about it, you all? I'm talking about this. You put it in perspective as you wind down. We thank God for your 3072. And we know that everybody that's on this line is in agreement with what you're saying. We have to always be ready to be a great example before the people. And with that, that means that there is still hope. And so we want to just let it be known that it's nothing like being able to say, I'm making a difference in my community, because it's easy to get in trouble, but definitely hard to get out of it. And that's some of the things that I just believe that we have a right to do, practice something that would cause us to be great examples in our community. So thank God again for Talk Straight, and on behalf of Pastor Dockery and his absence as he's on the campaign trail, we believe, God, that things are working out and put in the order that God would be pleased with, especially on this night right here, as we all stood in the gap for Pastor Dockery. So when he come back, amen, he'll pick up where we left off at. But in the meantime, may the Lord bless you real good is my prayer for all of us. Amen. Glory to God. And here we meet again.